Today is the 7th day of September. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you today, like it is every day. Always taking the next step forward together. And our next step forward leads us to part two of what we started yesterday, which is the Song of Solomon, or the Song of Songs. We will conclude the Song of Songs today. And it's our tradition around here, and has been for, my goodness, a long, long, long time. And then when we get to the Song of Solomon, my wife Jill joins me, and we read through it all together. And so we began that yesterday, and we will conclude today with Song of Songs, chapter 5 through 8. My bride, my sister, I will come to my garden. I will gather my myrrh with my spice. I will eat my honeycomb with my honey. I will drink my wine with my milk. Eat, my friends. Drink and become intoxicated with expressions of love.
I sleep, but my mind is awake. Listen, my beloved is knocking.
Open to me, my true love, my sister, my dove, my perfect one. My head is wet with dew, my hair with dewdrops of night.
I have taken off my clothes. Why should I put them on again? I have washed my feet. Why should I get them dirty again? My beloved put his hand through my keyhole. My heart throbbed for him. I got up to open for my beloved. My hands dripped with myrrh, and my fingers were drenched with liquid myrrh on the handles of the lock. I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had turned away. He was gone. I almost died when he left. I looked for him, but I did not find him. I called for him, but he did not answer me. The watchmen making their rounds in the city found me. They struck me. They wounded me. Those watchmen on the walls took my robe from me. Young women of Jerusalem, swear to me that if you find my beloved, you will tell him I am hopelessly lovesick. Most beautiful of women, what makes your beloved better than any other beloved? What makes your beloved better than any other beloved that you make us swear this way? My beloved is dazzling yet ruddy. He stands out among 10,000 men. His head is the finest gold. His hair is wavy, black as a raven. His eyes are set like doves bathing in milk. His cheeks are like a garden of spices, a garden that produces scented herbs. His lips are lilies that drip with myrrh. His hands are discs of gold set with emerald. His chest is a block of ivory covered with sapphires. His legs are columns of marble set on the bases of pure gold. His form is like Lebanon, choice as the cedars. His mouth is sweet in every way. Everything about him is desirable. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, young women of Jerusalem. Where did your beloved go, most beautiful of women? Where does your beloved turn? We will look for him with you. My beloved went to his garden, to the beds of spices, to graze his flock in the gardens and gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He is the one who grazes his flock among the lilies.
You are beautiful, my true love, like Tirzah, lovely like Jerusalem, awe-inspiring like those great cities. Turn your eyes away from me. They enchant me. Your hair is like a flock of goats moving down from Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep, sheep that come up from the washing. All of them bear twins, and not one has lost its young. Your temples behind your veil are like slices of pomegranate. There are 60 queens, 80 concubines, and countless virgins. But she is unique. My dove. My perfect one. Her mother thinks she is unique. She is pure to the one who gave birth to her. Her sisters saw her and blessed her. Queens and concubines saw her and praised her.
Who is this young woman? She looks like the dawn. She is beautiful like the moon, pure like the sun, awe-inspiring like those heavenly bodies. I went to the walnut grove to look at the blossoms in the valley, to see if the grapevine had budded, and if the pomegranates were in bloom. I did not know that I had become like the chariots of my noble people. Come back. Come back, young woman from Shulam. Come back. Come back so that we may look at you. Why do you look at me, the young woman from Shulam, as you look at the dance of Mahanaim? How beautiful are your feet in their sandals, noble daughter. The curves of your thighs are like ornaments, like the work of an artist's hands. Your navel is a round bowl. May it always be filled with spiced wine. Your waist is a bundle of wheat enclosed in lilies. Your breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle. Your neck is like an ivory tower. Your eyes are like pools in Heshbon, pools by the gate of Bath Rabin. Your nose is like a Lebanese tower facing Damascus. You hold your head as high as Mount Carmel. Your dangling curls are royal beauty. Your flowing locks could hold a king captive.
How beautiful and charming you are, my love, with your elegance. Young woman, your figure is like a palm tree, and your breasts are like its clusters. I thought, I will climb the palm tree and take hold of its fruits. May your breasts be like clusters on the vine. May the fragrance of your breath be like apples. May your mouth taste like the best wine.
That goes down smoothly to my beloved and glides over the lips of those about to sleep. I am my beloved's and he longs for me. Come, my beloved, let's go into the field. Let's spend the night among the henna flowers. Let's go to the vineyards early. Let's see if the vines have budded, if the grape blossoms have opened, if the pomegranates are in bloom. There I will give you my love. The mandrakes give off a fragrance. And at our door are all kinds of precious fruits. I have saved new and old things for you alone, my beloved. If only you were my brother, one who nursed at my mother's breasts. If I saw you on the street, I would kiss you, and no one would look down on me. I would lead you. I would bring you into my mother's house. She is the one who was my teacher. I would give you some spiced wine to drink, some juice squeezed from my pomegranates. His left hand is under my head. His right hand caresses me. Young women of Jerusalem, swear to me that you will not awaken love or arouse love before its proper time. Who is this young woman coming from the wilderness with her arm around her beloved? Under the apple tree I woke you up. There your mother went into labor with you. She went into labor and gave birth to you. Wear me as a signet ring on your heart, as a ring on your hand. Love is as overpowering as death. Devotion is as unyielding as the grave. Love's flames are flames of fire, flames that come from the Lord. Raging water cannot extinguish love, and rivers will never wash it away. If a man exchanged all his family's wealth for love, people would utterly despise him.
We have a little sister, and she has no breasts. What will we do for our sister on the day she becomes engaged? If she is a wall, we will build a silver barrier around her. If she is a door, we will barricade her with cedar boards.
I am a wall, and my breasts are like towers. So he considers me to be the one who has found peace. Solomon had a vineyard at Baal Hamon. He entrusted that vineyard to caretakers. each one was to bring 25 pounds of silver in exchange for its fruit. My own vineyard is in front of me. That 25 pounds is yours, Solomon, and 5 pounds go to those who take care of its fruit.
Young woman living in the gardens, while your friends are listening to your voice, let me hear.
Come away quickly, my beloved. Run like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains, spices.
Second Corinthians 9. I don't need to write anything further to you about helping the Christians in Jerusalem. I know how willing you are to help, and I brag about you to the believers in the province of Macedonia. I tell them, the people of Greece have been ready to send their collection since last year, and your enthusiasm has moved most of them to act. I've sent my co-workers so that when we brag that you're ready, we can back it up. Otherwise, if any Macedonians come with me, they might find out that you're not ready after all. This would embarrass us for feeling so confident as much as it would embarrass you. So I thought that I should encourage our co-workers to visit you before I do and make arrangements for this gift that you had already promised to give. Then it will be the blessing it was intended to be, and it won't be something you're forced to do. Remember this. The farmer who plants a few seeds will have a very small harvest, but the farmer who plants because he has received God's blessings will receive a harvest of God's blessings in return. Each of you should give whatever you have decided. You shouldn't be sorry that you gave or feel forced to give, since God loves a cheerful giver. Besides, God will give you his constantly overflowing kindness. Then, when you always have everything you need, you can do more and more good things. Scripture says, the person with God's approval gives freely to the poor. The things he does with God's approval continue forever. God gives seed to the farmer and food to those who need to eat. God will also give you seed and multiply it. In your lives, he will increase the things you do that have his approval. God will make you rich enough so that you can always be generous. Your generosity will produce thanksgiving to God because of us. What you do to serve others not only provides for the needs of God's people, but also produces more and more prayers of thanksgiving to God. You will honor God through this genuine act of service because of your commitment to spread the good news of Christ and because of your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. With deep affection, they will pray for you because of the extreme kindness that God has shown you. I thank God for his gift that words cannot describe. Psalm 51. For the choir director, a psalm by David when the prophet Nathan came to him after David's adultery with Bathsheba. Have pity on me, O God. In keeping with your mercy, in keeping with your unlimited compassion, wipe out my rebellious acts. Wash me thoroughly from my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. I admit that I am rebellious. My sin is always in front of me. I have sinned against you, especially you. I have done what you consider evil. So you hand down justice when you speak, and you are blameless when you judge. Indeed, I was born guilty. I was a sinner when my mother conceived me. Yet you desire truth and sincerity. Deep down inside me, you teach me wisdom. Purify me from sin with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear sounds of joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken dance. Hide your face from my sins, and wipe out all that I have done wrong. Create a clean heart in me, O God, and renew a faithful spirit within me. Do not force me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation to me, and provide me with a spirit of willing obedience. Then I will teach your ways to those who are rebellious, and sinners will return to you. Rescue me from the guilt of murder, O God, my Savior. Let my tongue sing joyfully about your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will tell about your praise. You are not happy with any sacrifice, otherwise I would offer one to you. You are not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifice pleasing to God is a broken spirit. O God, you do not despise a broken and sorrowful heart. Favor Zion with your goodness. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with sacrifices offered in the right spirit, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Young bulls will be offered on your altar. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25. Do not be a friend of one who has a bad temper, and never keep company with a hothead, or you will learn his ways and set a trap for yourself. Okay, so even as we conclude the Song of Solomon and continue our journey through 2 Corinthians, it's the psalm today, a psalm of repentance. And understanding the backstory of this psalm of repentance is poignant and leads us to consider our own repentance. And so, as the story goes, because we've already moved through this story when we read through the books of Samuel, 2 Samuel in particular, once David has become the king, remember, 1 Samuel sort of deals with King Saul. David is in the mix, but he spends a lot of his time trying to stay alive because Saul is trying to kill him. By the time we get to 2 Samuel, David becomes the king of all Israel. And the troops are off in battle. David has remained in Jerusalem. He wakes up from a nap. He's out on his front porch overlooking the city. And he looks down and sees a very beautiful woman bathing. And he wants her. And so he takes her. He's the king. Her name is Bathsheba. And David gets her pregnant. And she happens to be married. And not just married to anybody, but married to one of the most loyal and capable servants that David has. Bathsheba's husband's name was Uriah the Hittite. And David does all kinds of things to cover this up, what he has done, and this pregnancy. He brings Uriah back from the battles and tries to send him home to his wife where he can take comfort. And if that can happen, then this whole thing can probably be covered up. Only David and Bathsheba will know. It's just that Uriah is a righteous person, a loyal person to death. And so in the end, to try to cover this up, David sends Uriah back to the front lines with a note to the general to put him where the fiercest fighting is so that he might die. And he does. And Uriah is killed in battle. That is a dark, sordid story. A really dark story for a person who is known to be the friend of God. A man after God's own heart. But he certainly wasn't in that posture when he did what he did. And eventually Nathan, the prophet, comes and confronts David with a story about a little sheep that was part of a poor man's family when a rich man came and took that sheep and fed it to unexpected guests. David hears this story and is furious about it, about the injustice of it, until Nathan spins it around and says, "You are that person." And it hits David full square in the mouth, the full weight and scope of what he has done. And David pens this psalm. He cries out, "Purify me from sin with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear sounds of joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken dance. Hide your face from my sins and wipe out all that I have done wrong. Create a clean heart in me, O God, and renew a faithful spirit within me. Do not force me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore the joy of your salvation to me, and provide me with a spirit of willing obedience." Understanding the backstory, the inspiration for this song, makes it so poignant. And truth be told, there's probably none of us that have reached these kinds of depths. Very likely none of us have that level of power. David was the king. That's how he was able to perpetrate what he did. But he did have the power, and he used the power for evil. And when he realized it, he realized he had been trying to cover up his sin by sinning even more. He tried to cover up one evil with a greater evil, and cover up that evil with a greater evil. And it just kept getting worse, and now he's confronted with what he's done. And there is no way to cover it up. The only possible way is to fall in surrender and repentance and beg God to create a clean heart out of the dark blackness that he had created. So this is a beautiful and poignant psalm of repentance that we should be familiar with. Like I said, we probably haven't reached these depths where we can have the power to do the kinds of things that David did and then even commit basically murder by proxy, murder by battle, putting Uriah in a position where he would surely be killed. We probably don't have that kind of power, but we have power to create darkness, blackness. We have the power to do what we know is wrong and then take one evil and try to cover it up with a greater evil, only realizing that we are compounding things and creating a cage that we can't escape. Repentance is the only way forward. Repentance is all throughout the Bible. Repentance gets pounded a lot. Maybe even to the point that it becomes non-effective when we hear about it, or even cliche, but it is a constant and necessary part of the faith journey. Repenting means to change your mind. Like, that is literally what it means. To change your mind and go in a different direction. So when we begin to realize that we're compounding things, we can immediately realize we're not going in the right direction. Repentance is required. We have to change our mind and go in a different direction. If we don't become familiar with repentance, then we keep compounding the problems, and we will eventually destroy ourselves. So let's take this opportunity as we move through Psalm 51 to look inside and invite the Holy Spirit. And if we remember, this was David's plea: take not your Holy Spirit from me. And so let's invite this same Holy Spirit within us to reveal to us the things that need to change, the ways in which we need to repent. Psalm 51 shows us a lot of things, including the posture of heart within David, but it also reveals to us that there's nothing too horrible that we can't repent from. There isn't a dark blackness that cannot receive the light of truth. There's nothing that can't be restored if we're willing to change, if we're willing to repent. And as we know from reading through 2 Samuel, David eventually married Bathsheba. The baby that she was carrying, they lost the baby. Later, they had another child. His name was Solomon, and he would grow up to become the king of Israel. God will redeem anything that he touches. Let's not keep things off limits from his touch. Those things are leading us in a way that we do not want to go. And so, Holy Spirit, we invite you into that. Because even as we're talking about it, as happens so often, little things that are going on in our lives come to mind. And there are a myriad of things going on all over the world in all of our different stories and lives and cultures. But we all know it all bubbles forth. And we can begin to see the ways that we need to change. In fact, not just need to change, must change, which is by definition repentance. And so we begin that process with this prayer. We repent. We humble ourselves. We are crushed by what we see inside that is leading us astray, further away from you, and further into the darkness. We have to turn around. We have to go in a different direction. And we start that with the first step right now. We repent. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, to continue to shine the light of truth into the dark recesses of our hearts, surfacing things that need to go away, things that we need to turn away from. Come, Holy Spirit, into this. May this be the first day of a new beginning where we walk away from what is torturing us and caging us and imprisoning us. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. It's the website. It's where you find out what's going on around here. And so certainly check it out. Check out the different sections. And actually, you can check all this out from the Daily Audio Bible app as well, which you can download from whatever app store is connected to your device. But check out the different sections, like the community section. This is where to get connected on social media. This is also where the prayer wall lives. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources in a number of different departments for the journey that we are on through the Bible in a year, and so check that out as well. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the mission that we share here to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anyone who will listen, anywhere on this planet, any time of day or night, and to build community around that rhythm so that we know we're in this together, we hear each other, we're not alone, we'll never be alone, we have each other, we are the body of Christ. If that is life-giving to you and has made a difference, then thank you for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, DUB family. This is Lisa calling from the East Coast. I also go by Philippians 4:6 on the prayer wall. Thank you so much for all your prayers about my cancer journey. Things have gotten a lot harder recently. My chemo that I'm on a new chemo, and it stopped working for reducing symptoms like the fluid in my belly and also the pain that I haven't had in since probably February or March. It started to come back with muscle spasms and pain. I have to go to the hospital twice a week now to get fluid removed, about 4 liters a week, which is a lot for my tiny frame. So I can just really use your prayers for discernment for my oncologist and other doctors about putting me back on a chemo that at least was managing those symptoms. And you know, I'm praying and just begging God for time. Like I have so much I really want to do in the next month or two, to say my goodbyes and have some adventures with friends and travel. So I really could use your prayers just for a miracle and, just for time and not having as much pain as I've been in. I really haven't been sleeping again, which is really hard, from the pain. And then, a couple days ago, after I hadn't slept for 2 days straight, one of my friends told me right before bed that she thinks that God would be really angry with me that I'm not doing more to help my family get to know Jesus. My family is really toxic, and I've been so tired recently. I've had to end my relationship with many of them, just because it's really triggering and I can't sleep and I've had nightmares when I talk to them. And so it was really hard. Again, I couldn't sleep. So I really could use your prayers.
Shalom, Daily Audio Bible. This is Dwayne from Wisconsin. All praise and glory to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is September 4th. Just want to say thank you to all those who prayed for my wife. She had surgery a couple of weeks ago on her shoulder. Everything went well. Now it's just a matter of recovery. So I'd ask that you please continue to pray for my wife, Debbie, and a good healing process. I'm calling in today for the mother of Rebecca. She called in and would like us to pray for her daughter, who is being transferred when she called in from one mental hospital to another. She is very concerned for her daughter, who is going through a lot of trauma. And we want to lift her up to our Lord and Savior. Lord, we ask that you be with Rebecca. Lord, be with those who are caring for her, that they have kind words, compassion, but more importantly, Lord, that Rebecca feels you and knows that you are with her and walks through her during this time. Also be with her mother and father. We ask that you come comfort them as well. Give them words and peace of mind that you are in this situation and you will guide them through this time. We ask for understanding. We ask for forgiveness. We ask for direction in their life, Lord. We want to lift this up to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And God bless. And remember, the same Lord and Savior that saved us is the same Lord and Savior that can save our children. Shalom, Daily Audio Bible. This is Dwayne from Wisconsin. All praise and glory to our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is September 4th, calling in, praying for our children. We have Roberta, who is asking that we pray for son Ben, who is having mold issues with his AC. I pray that has already been taken care of, but we want to lift him up and know that's causing some health issues with him. Larry would like us to pray for the riots in Pakistan, the orphanage. I pray them children were safe. I know this is a little late, but we lifting up this to our Lord, and that he will continue to be with the children in Pakistan, and especially these children in the orphanage. Cecilia called in, would like us to pray for her niece Rhonda, who is having panic attacks and has a mass on her lung. So we ask that the Lord would heal her, be with her during this time. And she would also like us to pray for son Sean, who has deep brain, or is going for deep brain stimulation. So we pray that that will work in the issues that he is having. Dr. John called in, would like us to pray for Kelly, who is dealing with drug and sex issues. And this young lady has left home, so we ask our Lord and Savior to be with her and guide her to a safe place. Silent Brian called in, would like us to pray for a son, Cleon, who was in an accident at work and his front skull was damaged. We definitely give him praise and pray he is doing well. Susanna called in, would like us to pray for son Titus, who is having surgery. He's only 2 years old, so we pray that everything went well there. Amy called in, would like us to pray for grandson Colt, who is 2 years old and has lymphoblastic leukemia. We pray that our Lord was with this young child, Colt, and that he will be healed from this. We lift this all up to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless and amen.
This is Reverend Baker. I just wanted to pray for Rebecca, the 14-year-old coming out of a mental institution. I'd just like to pray for her family and that God surrounds her with what she needs to be whole, that he protects her from all of the attacks of the enemy. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we ask or think. And I say to that family, to that mother, to those friends, to those siblings, that God can and will protect her. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for loving Rebecca more than we ever could. I thank you, Lord, that you are aware of her suffering, her struggles, her inflictions, the attacks that have come against her, and that you have been there and that you have kept her from death. You have kept her from the severity that could have come, oh Lord. And I ask that you would help us to remember, oh God, that you are there even when we are not. And regardless of how bad things are, you will make things better. Father, we just thank you so much for caring more than we ever could. Oh, Lord, we love you in spite of what's going on in her life, Lord. We love you because of what you're going to do. You've already brought her out, oh, Father. The deliverance is there. And we just ask that you would continue to touch her, to heal her, to restore her, her mind, her spirit, as well as her body. And Father, we love you and we thank you and we praise you. I pray for that family, Lord, that you would give them the peace that they need. Give that mother, oh Lord, the peace that she needs. Wrap your arms around her and shield her, Lord, from depression. Shield her, Father, from guilt and self-condemnation. Give her peace. In Jesus' name we pray, who is the Prince of Peace. Amen.